Tom Homan says we're going to keep on rolling with less agents in Minnesota, but that means more in other places. Pam Bondi says we're going to slow our roll with the Epstein files because everything's been released. The effort to find Isadora Wengel rolls on after a judge allows her accused killer out on bail. What is going on here? And the Bison women's basketball team keeps on rolling with a historic win at UND. Good morning, my friend. Great to be here with you in the chair on another beautiful sunny morning here at the world headquarters of Fieldstone Group Flag Family Media. It is the Steve Halsham Show, 9 to 11 each weekday morning, and my chance to share with you what I've been learning here this morning about the world around us. Great to have you with me here today. Our producer, Addison Loger, doing all the real work behind the glass so I can have all the fun hanging out with you today. Addison, I may need your Pokemon expertise today. Do you have any?
Very, very minimal.
Okay.
I know some. I know people really love to buy those cards.
Yes.
I saw one over the weekend.
Oh, I've got it in the rundown today. So that don't spill the beans quite yet. But you're on the right path there. So we're going to talk about this. And what in the world is behind the price of these Pokemon cards? It's not a Nolan Ryan autograph rookie or something like that. So, but I'm going to ask you, sorry, I said I'm going to need your expertise and then you're going to tell me and then I shut you off. But hang on just a little bit because we'll need that coming up in a little bit. Fair? Deal?
I'll allow it. Fair.
Okay, thank you. All right, if you want to give us a call today, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They have recently expanded. They offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week. Go to valleychristian.co. And you can call us at 271-1100. You can email us, studio@flagfamily.com. You can text as well, 701-237-1590. Or you can also we gave you all three of them there. I thought there was one more, and there's not. So those are the ways to get in touch with us here today on the program. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, 15 minutes or less, and you'll be able to drive away in a beautiful new set of wheels. Check them out, drivewithvision.com. Great place to work, too. All right, on the program today, we've got a lot of very interesting talkers that have developed over the weekend. I want to give a chance to get into those here today. So a lot of topical stuff here on the program today. So I hope you'll chime in with your thoughts, your comments, questions. I do have a question for you today. What do you think needs to be said about all this Epstein file stuff right now? Had a conversation with a young man over the weekend in his early 20s. Happens to be my nephew. He's a big Trump fan, but he is turning on President Trump because of the Epstein files. And he kind of gave me his perspective on this, and I gave him mine. And I just told him, hey, beware of what you think you're seeing because people are telling you what you're seeing. So I did this all the time, too, when I was young. I would listen to somebody say, okay. And I just said, look, there's a few things that you need to know. And I'm going to go through that with you here today because Pam Bondi now has said publicly that all of the Epstein files have been released. And now Ro Khanna and some other people in the Democrat Party are saying, well, we want all like your inner office notes, too. And so there's a bit of a semantics game going on here as well. So we're going to talk about the Epstein files thing. And I want to know, what do you think needs to be said about this that hasn't been said yet? So we're going to have that conversation here today. We need to talk about why this young man in Fargo is walking around and was allowed to post bail. Actually, I don't know if he made bail or not, but bail was set in this case. And I think to myself, what are we doing here? Why are we allowing this individual to have any chance to walk freely among us? I said on this show last week when the charges were filed, like, there's a guy that can never see the light of day again, basically, if he did what he was accused of. And we don't know, innocent until proven guilty, but if they have a half of a tenth of what they think they have on this guy, this is a guy that should not be allowed to walk among us. So we're going to dive into that here as well. And how about this for a tease? Hillary Clinton is starting to make sense to me. You're like, Halstrom, what did you hit your head on the doorframe walking in? I think I know what's going on here. But she said something over the weekend. I go, yes, finally you're figuring it out. So we had all that to do here on the program today. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. I did as well. Going to tell you about one of the little elements of my Valentine's Day as we get to roll through the program here today also. So let's rock and roll here with the Morning Wire. This is Rapid Fire, semi-automatic storylines for those of you, I'm raising my hand, with short attention spans. And we're going to get right to it here with the almanac for today. We will gain 3 minutes and 9 seconds of daylight today here in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. Our sun will set at 5:53. So almost 6 o'clock. It'll only be about another week or so, and then the sun will be setting after 6 o'clock. Love this time of year. Markets are closed today, but the crypto market never closes. And Bitcoin today is up about $100, $68,496. And after that kind of free fall from a couple weeks ago, we've had about a week now where it looks like Bitcoin's starting to sort of get its feet under it. So we'll see what happens with that today and the rest of the week. On Friday, everything finished up very quiet. I don't know. The traders, I think, were all checking out early for Valentine's Day. But the Dow was up 50, NASDAQ was down 50, and the S&P 500 was up 3. So just not a whole lot going on there. WTI crude oil today, down about $1.20 at $63.44. Gold today down $48 an ounce at $4,998. Silver down $1.61. I understand there is some precious metals trading that goes on this day as well. So those are some of the market headlines for today. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide, $2.92, and that's up 1 cent from Friday. North Dakota average price, $2.53. Minnesota, $2.58. South Dakota, $2.59. And diesel fuel today at $3.64. In the news today, more than 100 traveled around the metro area searching for Isadora Wengel yesterday. They gathered at Dyke East Park in Fargo in hopes of finding evidence in the disappearance of the West Fargo woman. But the community stepping up, trying to get its job done there, not able to come up with anything that investigators say were solid leads. What a great show of solidarity across the region here yesterday as they came to Fargo to help look for Isabella. Can you imagine what that family is going through? Prayers to them. White House Border Czar Tom Homan said yesterday that more than 1,000 immigration agents have already left Minnesota's Twin Cities area, and hundreds more will depart in the days ahead as part of the Trump administration's drawdown of its ICE surge. But there will still, if you did the math there, 1,000 have left, hundreds in the days ahead, there's still going to be a force and a presence in Minneapolis. And as a coworker said to me this morning, like, did everybody just leave and all the protesters go home? I'm not hearing anything about this. And I said, I think that's the moral of the story, is that things happen, it seems like, when people want them to happen. Also in the news today, the Forum reports that preliminary budget estimates suggest revenue for the next general fund budget, the two-year cycle from 2027 to 2029, will be $700 to $800 million less than the last biennium. Apparently, the economy, they say, in the state is slowing down, along with the energy production slowing down as well. That's a pretty big drop right there. The Center for the American Experiment reports that the Minnesota Paid Family Leave Program, that new program that went into effect January 1, is already almost out of money. They have distributed over $30 million to 13,000 applicants, and there are another 27,000 waiting to be approved. And as I've told you before, every time I think about this story, I think about some of the fraud we saw with Medicare and child care, and I just wonder how much is going on with this program as well, and are they equipped to even find it? I don't know. CBS News reports that sexual assaults on airplanes, are up. 170 cases of passengers assaulting other passengers on flights in 2024. And that's up from 130 the year before. So that's like a 40% increase. Now, that's a small fraction of all the people that fly. That's a pretty big jump in 1 year. I think, very interesting. And Bison women's basketball team gets a win at UND yesterday. the Lady Bison are now 23-2 on the year. 23-2 on the year. I think they've won like 21 in a row. Go Bison. What a great story. Bison men having a great year, too. Good stuff there. All right, 23 past the hour here on the Steve Holcomb Show. Good morning, my friend. Great to have you with me on this Monday morning. I saw last week, and you probably did, too, that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says the feds should reimburse Minnesota for all of the damage done during Operation Metro Surge. And there were 3,000 federal agents there that were doing the sweeps and targeted operations that they were doing in Minneapolis. And out in the suburbs and in St. Paul, it was sort of a metro-wide thing, and there was some activity outstate Minnesota as well. And there has been some activity in North Dakota, too, that has been going on. So just a lot of activity in the region, but the hub of it was all in the Twin Cities area. The governor says we have had somewhere around $150 to $170 billion of economic damage, and the state should be reimbursed for that. They say it was, you know, $80 million in lost revenue for businesses and restaurants, $47 million in lost wages, $4.7 million in hotel cancellations, and about $6 million to the city of Minneapolis for city resources that had to be burned to deal with what was happening there. So I file that away in my mind and I say, huh, well, that's interesting. They say the state should be reimbursed $150, $170 billion, but the state government was really only inconvenienced to the tune of about $6 million. A far cry from $170 billion. So then I started thinking to myself, huh, you know, the other thing I saw is that the Minnesota Paid Family Leave Act is underway, and they are having a high amount of interest in this program. And our friends at Center of the American Experiment tell us that approvals for the paid leave, what they call the paid leave scheme, are running 26% above forecast. As you know, they came out of the chute with a lot of applications in the pipeline for January 1st, and it really has not let up. So they anticipated at the beginning that they were going to have a certain level of usage out of this, and the numbers that they had expected to happen, I forget what the number was, but it seemed very light to me because every worker in Minnesota is having money taken out of their paycheck for this program, whether they liked it or not or whether they knew it or not. They're having money coming out of their paycheck. So everybody's paying into this. Now, it's not a ton, but it's a few bucks every payroll. And if you put money into something, you want to get something of value out of it. So I don't know why most Minnesota employees wouldn't try to take advantage of this in some way if they could. They're going to have to fill in a little bit of their regular earnings gap, of course. But Center of American Experiment says the rate of approvals 54% higher than forecast. And this is their chief economist, John Phelan. He said, I expected a surge of applications when the scheme launched and a higher daily rate of approvals because people can take time off in 2026 for events like having a child, which occurred in 2025. So the Pioneer Press came out with more information and said that the program has now had $30 million in payments and about 14,000 approvals in the first month. And that number of approvals is higher than the pace for the one, there it is, 130,000 people that were expected in the first year. The state government forecasts a daily rate of approvals of 352, and the reported figures work out a rate of 442, which is about 26% above forecast. Slightly above or quite a bit above, however you want to say it. And Phelan has said previously on this that the number is boosted in part by early applications for child bonding leave, something known in paid leave circles as a baby bump. But that initial bump is expected to even out over time. 32 past the hour, a little breaking news here in just a few moments ago. Border Protection, Customs and Border Protection, has put out a release saying that it has nabbed an illegal alien with a child sex abuse material quotient on a mobile device nabbed by Border Patrol. This happened in Stanley, North Dakota. So my friends in Stanley listening on KTGO are going, holy smokes, that happened here. Yeah, Border Patrol agents assigned to the Grand Forks sector, along with North Dakota's BCI and Homeland Security, arrested an illegal alien from Mexico for possessing child sexual abuse material. And they got a federal search warrant and then were able to enter the home. During the search, electronic devices were seized, and Hugo Lopez Diaz's phone was examined and found to have child sex abuse material. He has been arrested on state charges for possession of said material and is awaiting prosecution. And then they say any further questions should be directed to the North Dakota Attorney General. So there you go on that. So that story breaking here. So these things are happening kind of all over the place, and they don't always make news, but this one certainly did. I know there's a lot of conversation about, well, are they going after the worst of the worst? Well, if you got people like this who are here illegally and possessing things like this, they have multiple things now on their record. And I would just remind everybody that in this conversation about treating people humanely, which I think we would all agree needs to happen, there also have to be standards. And if you have entered the country illegally, you have already broken a law. And so you don't need anything else on your record to be able to deport you. But in this case, Hugo Lopez Diaz has got a couple of strikes against him. That's how I see it. Anyway, you might see it differently. Okay, the Epstein files. I mentioned off the top of the show that I had a conversation with a family member over the weekend, and he has been a big supporter of Donald Trump and the effort to turn the tide in our country, and was happy when Trump was elected for a second time. But during a conversation we had this weekend, he mentioned to me that he believes that there is enough evidence for Donald Trump to be impeached. And I said, for what thing now? And he said, for the Epstein files. And I said, well, okay, tell me what you've heard, because I try to follow this each day sort of in my job that I have to let the good people who listen to my show know what's going on in the world. And he said, well, just look at what everything is. There's way more in there than we need to know to say that he should be in jail and he should be impeached. And I said, well, I said, okay, so the way I look at it is this. If he is guilty of doing the things that would be, you know, meet the level of heinous crimes that we're talking about in here, then I would say absolutely. Along with apparently, you know, many other people. But I said, what proof do you have? And he said, well, you know, we got all the we got photos of him with underage girls, and we've got emails, and we've got things like that. Now, I didn't get into a lot of specifics about what exactly did you see and was this attached to an email. I just said, you know, you have to be careful here, because just because somebody submits a photo, let's say somebody has a photo with me, and you can find them where I've been hanging out with young people. I do some volunteering for Legacy Children's Foundation from time to time. And so you can find me with my arms around little girls and little boys as we're at some event celebrating something that they have done or whatever. Now, someone says, well, Steve Hallstrom has pictures of little girls on his phone. Oh, okay. Well, what? They go through my phone. And, well, sure enough, guilty as charged. Here we go. And, you know, there's an email that links Trump to something. And I said, OK, here's the thing on all of this. I believe that we need to finally get all this out there so we can get our heads around what looks to be the most evil thing imaginable. And I think, and now Pam Bondi is saying, we have released everything that is in those files. And there's been some debate, well, should Bondi also be releasing all of their emails and notes about this between, you know, interoffice communications and whatever? I don't know what Congress authorized I don't know what they said. I want it all out there so we can get our heads around it. Because in my mind, this is not of the scale, but in terms of the severity of what is being alleged, I mean, it's on the same level as the Holocaust in terms of the kind of things that they are being rumored to do. Again, don't hear me well on this. We're not talking about millions of Jews, but the kind of things that were being done. It's right out of the Diary of Anne Frank. And we also have to understand what happened, but also what can be proven. Now, I might not like Joe Biden, but if there's an email from Joe Biden to Epstein that says, hey, thanks for sending the torture video where we killed that kid, it would look horrible, but it wouldn't prove anything. Not just some random piece of paper put somewhere. You need his travel records tied to the location. You need witnesses, all of that. It's not hard to doctor an email. I can go on my computer and find an email sent by anybody to me, change the sender's name and address, and all of a sudden, you know, Scott Hennin is named in my email. You can doctor emails. That's very easy, especially ones that are 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now, you've got to be able to understand what happened, but you've got to also be able to understand what you can prove. The things that have supposedly happened here are awful, but have we not learned anything over these last 10 years? Not to jump to conclusions, not to trust what you first see. I don't say this to protect Joe Biden or Trump or Prince whoever, but to remind us all that people are innocent until proven guilty. But we don't live in a nation of critical thinkers anymore. We live in a nation of large efforts to make you think a certain way. That can either be like a non-governmental agency, a nonprofit group. It can be a social media channel. We are being manipulated every single day, whether we want to or not, by the headlines we see, the social media messages we get, the algorithms that deliver things to our social media doorstep. And you have to remember that when your emotions get a certain way, that's when I've learned, hang on, stop. And take a look. What am I missing? What am I not seeing? What could not be apparent to me at this time? You might say to me, and my nephew did, 6 tanks of sulfuric acid going out to Epstein Island. I said, I know, but that doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump. That's Jeffrey Epstein ordering. They said it's for water treatment or something. Maybe it is. I don't know. Now, sulfuric acid can also be used to, quote unquote, clean up the crime if you want to. Google it if you need to. But while left-wing media tells you it was all Trump all the time in here, I keep thinking to myself, okay, if Trump was really guilty of something here, why would he have ordered the release of these documents that name him 2,000 times? Wouldn't he have tried to have this stuff deleted or lost? You know, that we hear now that ICE has been disappearing people. Well, I think Trump would have been disappearing documents if that was the case. Maybe not, but it makes me wonder. It makes me think. And if it looked all that bad for Trump, do you think he would have told Pam Bondi, hey, you know, you can release some of it, but other stuff we're just not going to release. We're just going to say, you know what? Some of this stuff is just, it's just too nasty, and try to milk that for as long as possible. And if it looked that bad for Trump, don't you all think Kamala Harris would have had the ultimate October surprise back during the last election or in 2016 or 2020? It doesn't add up to me. It doesn't. But this is an issue that I believe is uniting people across all political lines in our country. Now, I have to tell you that I have biases, you do too, and one of my biases is if the Democrats are pounding the table very hard for something to happen, I immediately become suspicious. What are you up to? Because we know darn well there were Democrats that were part of whatever happened there. There were liberals. There was the Hollywood elite. I don't think anybody is arguing that those people all in some way had some tie to what Epstein did, who he was, the parties he had. So just an acquaintance, whatever it might be, but there's a lot of people, and they're not all Republicans, I promise you. So when I see the Democrats, after Joe Biden had the office for 4 years, Barack Obama had it for 8 years. In between, there was four for Trump, whose head was spinning the whole time, trying to figure out how to make things work in this bizarre whirlwind of who's with me and who's against me. Don't you think that some of this could have come up ahead of time? And why is it now that there's the furor to release all these documents? Why was it not in 2022 or 2023 or 2013 or 2000? I mean, way back, even in Obama's first term, there was enough out there where you could have said, hey, we need to investigate some of this. But now Trump is the bad guy. Bondi's the bad guy because they're the ones that now are not releasing everything that's out there. And some will say, well, they have to now. It's us Democrats that got this through in Congress. Well, you don't have the voting bloc on these things. So you can't say that this was a Democrat effort. So you can't even say, well, this is because we did that. So I want to know from you what you think needs to be said about this. I want it all out because I can read through this and I can say, okay, here's what was said. Here was what was discussed. Here's what it was. And then people who are smarter than me and have more time than me can go through it and say, you know what? There's enough cause here for an investigation and potentially charges. Congrats to Tom Hoagie, Fargo golfer on the PGA Tour. Got a top 15 finish this weekend at Pebble Beach at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And he started off, he was in the top five after Thursday's round, went 7 under. And, you know, then just kept whittling away from there, going a little further under par. No other big, you know, 7 unders, but had himself a darn good round. He shot a 68 yesterday to go along with a 68 on Friday, a 70 on Saturday, finished 17 under. That's just amazing to me that a golfer could play these PGA courses and go 17 under par. That's ridiculous to me. So Tom ended up yesterday with a very adventuresome round. He bogeyed the second hole, which is a par five, then birdied the third hole, then bogeyed the fourth hole. So he's 2 over on this round after 4 holes. But then he rips off 5 straight birdies, including birdies on a couple of par threes. And those are the hardest ones to birdie. You got to hit a really good iron shot and usually a really good putt. And so he rips off 5 straight. So he's 4 under after his front nine, then 1 birdie and 1 bogey on the back, and he ended up at -4 for the day. So some pretty good golf going on by Tom. And Tom has had a kind of an up, mostly up, though. I was going to say up and down 2026 season, but he's really been pretty good this year. He missed a cut a couple weeks ago, I suppose it was, but he's got a couple of good finishes and top 15. This is the course that he won at, oh, I don't know, 5 years ago, something like that. And he'll take home $342,000 for taking a tie for 14th. If he would have just made one more birdie and got to minus 18, he'd have been in the top 10 and would have had his paycheck over $500,000 for the weekend. So that's pretty good. How great is that, by the way? You get to play golf and make $500,000 or three, or the winner, Colin Morikawa, $3.6 million. How's that for a weekend? Play one of the nicest golf courses in the world. I'm sure he gets like a free bottle of pop or something at the turn, and then take home $3.6 million. So good on you, Tom Hoagie. And it's fun, Fargo golfer, seeing him doing what he's doing on the PGA Tour. All right, 9 past the hour here. I've got a couple of emails and text messages that have come in on the Epstein stuff before we get into the key three. Emailer Dan says, Steve, it's not going to do any good to arrest Epstein perps if victims will not testify. Yes, you're right. I think you probably have to have that in order to bring the charges, right? Which is why maybe there hasn't been. And, you know, there's a lot behind the statement the victims won't testify. Maybe they feel like it was minor what happened to them. Maybe they're scared. Maybe they've been threatened. Maybe they've been bribed. Who knows? These things happen. We know that. But, Dan, you're right. I can't say anything about that. My question for you is, I guess the question I should ask is, do you want to see more released? I at least, whatever they've sent out before, up till this point, I at least want the names, the victims' names should be redacted. We should never see those. But who sent the email, who got it, I think would be helpful for us to try to understand or at least see if there's enough there for a case. Because no matter who it is, Donald Trump or anyone else, if these things that have been alleged are true, then there need to be charges. Because these things that apparently happened, and it seems like there's enough smoke here where there's a little bit of fire, these are some of the worst atrocities you could think of being. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. You've probably heard enough. From the text line, so how do you feel about that? 271-1100. Steve, release all the Epstein files you want. This is only a distraction to take down Trump. Meanwhile, Wallace, Brian Ellison will get off scot-free on the fraud and destruction of Minneapolis and Minnesota. Nothing changes. Well, we can do both, can we not? Get to the bottom of the Epstein files and still do what we need to do in Minnesota and Minneapolis. So, yeah, it might be a distraction. But I've already told you that I think Trump stands up to this based on what we know already. That, you know, he wouldn't have said let's release it all if he was named in things that are horrific. And he's out there saying, look, I don't know if I want to release this stuff, you guys. It's so bad. I mean, some of this stuff is so disgusting, and a lot of it's unhinged. You can't really corroborate much of it. But he released it anyway, well after that happened. So I think we can do both. I mean, I'm with you on the whole Minnesota thing, but don't you want to know? Like, don't you want to see it out there and have somebody, like an objective lawyer, go through this and say, okay, here's what it looks like. There is something. Here's where there's not. Got to prove it. Can't prove it. There's no victims that'll testify. Whatever. I just want to know. It's like Hillary Clinton and the ball peen hammers and the election of 2020. I just want to know sometime before I die. Steve, you cannot perp walk someone if you don't have sufficient evidence to convict. Yep. Agree. I must have said something different because that's two of you now that have said that. I agree with all of that. You've got to have the case before you charge somebody or walk them into jail, right? Morning, everyone. So first I need to ask, wasn't the WikiLeaks founder the original reports on the Epstein stuff and try to put him away? Shouldn't we then compare the evidence? Okay, so wasn't the WikiLeaks founder of the original report? I'm sorry, I don't understand your question there. Steve Epstein was disappeared. I don't doubt that to be true. Who did it is the question. But thanks for the messages. Keep them coming in here. 701-271-1100 by phone. Email studioflagfamily.com. Text line 701-237-1590. Jim in Fargo wants to talk about this. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, I still say the parents should have been ran through the goddamn gutter for allowing their children to be even close to that guy. And another thing, about those chips. Why chip prices are down? Because SNAP, they're not allowing, and the government isn't subsidizing chips anymore.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that on Friday. Doritos lowered their prices about 15% after RFK said we're not going to put, you know, candy and pop and chips in there anymore. So, with you. Yeah. Good stuff, Jim.
Yeah, those parents should go straight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if the parents knew, I mean, Tom Holman found 3,300 missing undocumented kids in Minnesota in this last week.
Yeah.
So some of those, right? I mean, that's probably, I mean, human trafficking has been going on for a long time. So I can't say that the parents are all guilty. Certainly, if parents were involved,
don't they talk to their kids?
Well, not if they're missing.
Communicate with their children. Come on.
Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Well, look, if what you're saying is true, then yes. I'm just trying to have a conversation here and say, okay, there could be more to it than what you're saying. But I would agree with you. I mean, if my daughter is like going to some Epstein Island and I authorize this, like she's going to go with some businessmen to some island, she's 17, well, then that's obvious. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out how these kids got, you know, whatever, and some of them were as young as 5 or 6. How did they end up getting it? That's not a parent saying, just go with this rich business guy for the weekend. That's something else going on here. But I don't disagree with your point, Jim. All right. Hey, thanks for calling. Appreciate you hollering, Jim. Appreciate you. 10:14. I shook my head. I rubbed my eyes. I smacked myself in the face a couple of times and said, did I just read what I thought I just read? And even better, there was a soundbite. The headline said, quote, Hillary Clinton says migration went too far and needs to be fixed in a humane way. And I said, wow, Hillary Clinton is admitting that the Democrats' border policy went too far and was irresponsible, whatever you, I guess, whatever other words you'd want to assign that. So she's in Germany over the weekend for the Munich Security Conference, and she's participating in a panel titled, quote, The West-West Divide, What Remains of Common Values? And during the panel, Hillary Clinton appears to take a much different approach on border security than what we heard from her, or really most any Democrat recently.
Secretary Clinton.
There is a legitimate reason to have a debate about things like migration.
Really?
It went too far. Oh. It's been disruptive and destabilizing, and it needs to be fixed in a humane way with secure borders that don't torture and kill people, and how we're going to have a strong family structure, because it is at the base of civilization.
Wow. It went too far. It's been disruptive and destabilizing. Needs to be fixed. I'll stop right there and say, where was Hillary Clinton a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago? Or, heck, I would even be glad she said it when Trump was president. Call out Trump for not doing enough to curb the migration. How about the Barack Obama administration? Where you been, Hillary? Where have you been? Now, I have to be honest and tell you that before and after that, she ripped Trump up one side and down the other, of course, and secure borders that don't torture and kill people. Well, none of that's happening, of course. And I think she is conveniently trying to confuse people with the whole Minnesota thing where two people died. But then the last part of it, we've got to be fixed in a way that gives us a strong family structure, because that is at the heart of civilization, whatever she said. That's at the pace of civilization or something. But we need a strong family structure. Who are you? Who are you, and what have you done with Hillary Clinton? And isn't it something how slowly but surely Bill Gates comes out and says, yeah, you know, all the climate stuff. You know, you've got all of these people now that, wow, they suddenly seem to be getting smart to the issues that you and I have been looking around and going, what? Target saying in Minneapolis, yeah, you know what? We think business is actually done better when people are all in the office rather than letting them sit at home and whatever, self-medicate. Or for some people, it probably works good. But, I mean, good business is done by people that are together in an office. So things that you and I have been saying, what are we doing here? And COVID, I mean, that's its own two-hour show right there. There was more from Hillary. She actually admitted that there are places where a physical barrier of entry is appropriate. Huh? She did say she opposed a large-scale expansion of border wall during her 2016 presidential campaign, of course. But now she says, you know, a wall actually is not a bad idea sometimes. Oh, really? Huh. She went on to say that more people were deported under Bill Clinton, her husband, and Obama than in Trump's 5 years without killing people. But what was the difference? Well, we're talking about the two people that were products of the radical lib funding machine and the rhetoric machine that said, go fight these people, confront law enforcement, don't take this sitting down. Some did, and unfortunately, two of them are dead. So really, without those two, people who should have stayed on the sidewalk and held up their sign and yelled F Trump or whatever it was that they were going to yell, if they would have just been smart about what they were doing, there would be nobody who died in any of this. I don't remember hearing of an illegal who was shot and killed by Border Patrol. Do you? I don't remember any of those things happening. It's hard to make sense of this comment now, when all of a sudden it seems like people on the far left are just kind of coming around to things that you and I have known to be true for years. I think what's going on here is more evidence that I don't think the people that we're talking about, Bill Gates and Soros and Obama and Hillary Clinton, I don't think they really believe any of these things. I think they just say them for an ulterior motive. It all goes back to money in my brain, the way I see it. I like to say money and power, but power doesn't mean anything if you don't have money. So it's really money. And the Bible talks way more about the love of money than the love of pride and ego. These people like Hillary Clinton want you to think that they are the intellectuals. We are the ones who are sophisticated, not these knuckle-dragging Trump followers. Meanwhile, a lot of the guys who do the jobs that Hillary called the deplorables for doing have been saying the intellectual stuff out loud for the last 20 years. You get a bunch of plumbers together, a bunch of farmers, a bunch of electricians, a bunch of factory workers, a bunch of military guys and gals. They've been saying these things all along that, gosh, you know, I think that we probably need to, at some point here, say that we've gone too far and that we've made some mistakes. But did you hear any of that during the last presidential campaign? Did you hear Kamala Harris or Joe Biden before he jumped out? Did you hear Hillary Clinton jumping in saying what she said? Somebody told me today, too, in the hallway that did you see what Barack Obama said? Apparently he's starting to make sense, too, all of a sudden. And to that I say, where were you? Because the people like you who listen to this show and other shows on this station and other conservative networks have been saying all along while holding up our hand in the back of the classroom, excuse me, can I say that these, whatever the issue is, pick your issue. But can I just say something? No, you can't say anything. You Trump lover, we're not going to listen to you. And that's how it has felt, hasn't it? To so many of us here over the last 15, 20 years. And now, thankfully, there is a president that seems to listen to regular people who might be the original intellectuals when all is said and done. 701-271-1100. It was the best thing I heard all weekend. Best thing / worst thing. But I had to bring that to you today. I thought you would appreciate that, too. Let's go to Dana, and he's on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Dana.
Good morning, Steve, and all you fine listeners out there. Check out Hillary. Now the midterms are coming up. She knows the people of America don't like this immigration thing with all the criminals flooding into our system. So all of a sudden it's about face. So we'll just tell them now we care and they'll all come flocking back to us.
Well, maybe, but yeah, doesn't that vindicate Trump? Doesn't that make Trump look like a genius?
Trump's just doing what we want him to do.
100%.
He's simple.
Yeah, but if Hillary Clinton's going to get out there on the stump these days and say, hey, borders, immigration, security, deport the criminals, the worst of the worst, that's what Trump's been saying since day one. That might be the strategy in this case, Dana, but I don't know. It's just going to make Trump look better the more comments like this we hear.
She's just playing the people, and then if they start listening to her,
I think you're right.
Then it'll be, ha-ha, fooled you again.
All right, what's really happening with inflation? We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, Addison, I told you that your pop culture skills were going to come in handy today.
Well, we'll see about that. To be determined.
Do you know who Logan Paul is?
I've heard the name for sure. I think he was a YouTuber at a point in time.
Yeah, YouTuber, kind of a boxer, kind of an MMA, kind of a WWE guy. He's just kind of been a guy who's been out there a lot. Well, he bet big on Pokemon a few years back, and it appears to have paid off Sunday night. Paul broke a world record when he sold his 1998 Japanese Pikachu Illustrator, graded as a PSA Gem Mint 10, for more than $16.4 million. It was the only card of its kind to get the high grade by PSA, they're people that grade trading cards. And they took a look at 52 others. There were five other cards that were known to be in circulation. They only got a grade of 9. So 10 mint is better than 9 mint. And Paul was thrilled about this. He bought it a few years ago. I don't know that he's ever said what he bought it for, but he sold it for $16,492,000. Now, can you tell me in the Pokemon world what it is to say that I have a Pikachu illustrator from Japan? What does that mean?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably a Pikachu. It's probably pronounced Pikachu.
Oh, Pikachu. Thank
yes.
you.
To anyone who has any Gray's knowledge of Pokemon, it's probably that little yellow electric mouse that's always in the cartoons.
Hmm.
I don't know a whole lot about the Pokemon cards, but just a little scene setter for anyone. You know,
same.
It's a trading card. It's
yep.
like 2.5 by 3.5, you know, a yeah. small little thing.
Looks like a baseball card.
Yeah. Yep. I know for some reason on our side of the world, the Japanese ones seem to be a lot more collectible to others. I think just because it's in Japanese and those cards don't make it to America very often.
Yep.
I have no idea how these things get valued the way they do. I saw one over the weekend, like I was saying, right as we started the show. I saw one over the weekend. You can buy these things in like just random packs at like Target or Walmart for like $5, $10, $15.
Isn't that cool though? That I mean, you could buy a pack of cards for $5 and one of these could be in there?
One of these could be in there. I saw one over the weekend. It was almost $600. It's just a trading card. They're meant for like kids.
Well, it's supply and demand, right? Somebody wants it. If nobody wanted it, it wouldn't be worth $16 million. But
it's true.
Supposedly, and this is looks like one of one. It looks like this is the only one that anybody knows about
in that
in existence. That's
well.
A 10, yeah, gem mint 10 deal. So is Pikachu? Is that like a Japanese word, or is that kind of a word that's supposed to sound Japanese when it really means just I'm looking at you?
It's the name of that particular Pokemon.
Okay.
Because they've all got different names. I couldn't even.
So does the illustrator card allow you to do different things in the Pokemon game then?
I'd have to see the card to know. I guess it's all in Japanese. I won't be able to read it. But I'm going to assume just based on its name, it's probably just different art on the card of the Pokemon itself.
Okay.
So it's probably just a normal Pokemon card with the normal ability on it, but it's just the artwork on it.
Gotcha.
That's different.
It's the most expensive trading card ever sold at an auction.
Absolutely horrifying.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I love old autographed sports memorabilia. I've got a couple of things, nothing that's nearly that exciting. And my cards are kind of all honestly not worth much anymore. I got a Dan Marino rookie card, and that's about it. I've got a couple of Nolan Ryan autographed baseballs that I'm proud of that I keep kind of in a dark closet so the sunlight doesn't get them, you know. But every once in a while, it's fun to pull them out and look at them.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to invest in your future, head to the nearest Pokemon.
I guess so. Start buying Pokemon cards. All right, before I get to my inflation kind of rundown for you, we've got a few other things to do, and we have Joan who has called and wants to talk about Hillary Clinton today, and we want to try to make time for phone calls whenever we can. We certainly have a chance to do that today. Good morning, Joan. How are you?
Yes, hi. I'm just calling about her. It almost sounds like she's running for president again, but I doubt that. But what I was going to say is over the weekend I heard several more clips about it was Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Chuck Schumer about our illegal immigration system. And everything that they said sounded very, very conservative, but that was way back when it was popular. It was very popular, but when this whole going after the cops started in 2014 and 2015 was after Barack Obama's second term started, And then the police were demonized, and they could say anything they wanted. That's kind of the beginning of all the woke stuff starting. So I think the problem is now is it's not popular amongst the Democrats and the Marxist communists with this immigrant. Their whole thing is they want immigration. They want people here now. And I know she said that because she wanted to sound good, because their administration back when Bill Clinton was running, they actually were stricter. And part of the reason why they could be strict was because nobody was going after, I'm sorry, but they could be stricter because the for police help them. They were, all they had to do was go to the jails right. and get the people that were illegally here that were criminals. Now they have to fight yeah. for them yep. in certain places. So it's a whole different scenario right
yeah.
now. So
yeah. Thanks, Joan. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Well you. Said. Yeah. There was an effort. I mean, something happened. I don't know how far ago, maybe 10 years ago. And it became a strategy that I don't know how Democrats work, but it seemed like all of a sudden everybody was all about bringing in people from all over the world. It probably goes back to the Obama days. And Obama's thing was he hated America and wanted to shape it into something that was much more multicultural and something that was a lot less American tradition. That, and he wasn't shy about that. He came out and told you that's what he wanted to do because he said there's America doesn't work for enough people. So his whole thing when he got elected was he was going to stand up for people of color, which I think we're all behind. But the way he wanted to do it was let's bring in people from all over. And that's where Minneapolis started to change, where you had high concentrations and massive numbers of people kind of overwhelming the grid, if you will, coming to certain places. And Minneapolis is just one where, you know, they found people from a part of the world where we really couldn't vet anybody, brought them over anyway. And they wanted to sort of remake certain areas. And Minnesota politicians, they went along with it and made it all happen. And so I think all of that started. And that's kind of that was sort of the Obama thing. Obama wasn't about trans stuff and climate change. That was not him at all. He was on record saying, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman. It was all of this kind of diversity push that started the whole thing. And, you know, everybody's going to have different ideas on that. But sooner or later, that turned into, hey, diversity, if we have people who cannot, you know, and a lot's been talked about the Somali population. Statistically, they are more needy of government services. They, for whatever reason, do not seem to assimilate like, you know, the Hmong population or the Liberian population or, I mean, pick your population. The Irish that came over, you know, 100 years ago or whatever, like all those people found a way to make it. Somali people are having a harder time statistically to do that, which someone should really try to figure that out. Why, you know, that's not happening. But they began to feel like, OK, if we can bring over needy people that are going to need government, it's a built in vote. So why would we not? And that has led to all these conversations about what do we do with people now that they're here? Because it's going to be really hard, really painful, and really messy to move people out that are just here. I say just, again, they've committed a crime by skipping ahead and you know, skipping ahead of the people that are doing it legally. It's tough. That's why I say in Minneapolis, you know, you make a big mess, it's going to be really messy to clean it up. And then you make that mess worse by all the incendiary rhetoric, and you'll go confront them, and they shouldn't be here, and ICE out, and marches and all of these things that happen here. But that's the real question, is what do we do now with this whole thing? And the polling has still been very much that if people are here illegally and have not committed another crime, statistically, the American public still wants them gone. But I think we're starting to see a little bit of that decline from what I can tell in polling. And again, polling can be rigged. We certainly understand that. But you're going to, I believe, here's my prediction before too long, you're going to see some people on Capitol Hill, and Republicans will go along with this, I think, in big measure, that will say, let's provide a pathway to citizenship if you are here. And maybe it's a reduced level of citizenship where you can't ever vote, but you know, come legal, get yourself out in the open, register, whatever. We'll get you a green card. And if you are here illegally, you're not going to get benefits and you can't vote, but you can be an American in every other way. And that is going to be the biggest debate, I believe, of this summer and this fall, is what's going to happen with that issue, because people will be using that as a weapon during this election cycle. And you know darn well that there are a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill who put their finger up in the wind to see, what can I do here to get reelected? And they all seem to do fairly well being there. Not all. I'm not trying to overgeneralize here, but that's my prediction for you. that that effort is going to ramp up of a pathway to citizenship, and then it's going to be a matter for you and I to decide, are we going to die on the hill of, nope, you are here illegally, you're out. And then you get in line and then you come back in. And you're going to hear farm groups come out and say, we need the workers. You're going to hear a lot of manual labor say, well, if we could do this, it'll allow us to keep some people who are here. They're good people. They just did something they probably shouldn't have back in the day. And that's going to be the big discussion, I think, of this campaign. All right, let's go back to the text line here. I've had a lot of activity on the text line and some phone calls today. By the way, phone line open still here, 271-1100. I agree with Jim from Grand Forks. You can check to see if these children were reported as missing. There's no way my child would be allowed to go to an island by themselves. Now these people that are victims are adults. Ask them about their parents. Okay. Steve, good idea. Maybe makes a strong case for mandatory voter ID. Oh, okay. That's the long game there, but I get what you're saying on that one. Steve, Howard Lutnick needs to be fired. He totally lied about his relationship with Epstein. Okay, well, if he did, then we should be asking why he lied. Did he lie under oath? And what might that tell us about that? So, yeah, look, I'm for everybody being under the microscope on this one. So it's that important. If you're lying, why? I think that's a fair question to ask. All right, when we come back, more of your calls if you want to call in on this stuff, but I do have a couple highlights from Friday's unemployment or Friday's inflation detail that I think are worth noting, and we'll do that next. Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton makes it easy to have a vehicle that you bought from there because they make service super easy. Not long ago, needed an oil change. They came out and did in the parking lot, right here at the building, in the middle of winter. I said, do you need to come and get it and bring it down there? Because they told me they had these 18 service drivers that would come get your car and bring it down there if needed. I'm like, that's fantastic. Even better, they just did it. I could watch them do the whole oil change if I wanted to outside my window. Absolutely fantastic. They put the customer first at Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton. And drivewithvision.com is our website, drivewithvision.com. Keep seeing more and more of those Lincolns driving around town here, and they're all coming from Wahpeton. And I know why now, having had that experience with them. All right, 49 past the hour here, just a few more minutes left in the program. I want to get this email in because I'm honestly surprised that more of you did not want to talk about the Josh Haidt $5 million bail. I cannot for the life of me understand why a judge would allow the option for someone to make bail. Now, I don't know if he's made bail or if he's still in custody, if he can't. What do you have to, if it's a $5 million bail, I think the deal is you got to put 10% cash down. So you'd have to come up with $500,000. It doesn't look like you can, but or I shouldn't say that. It would be difficult for anybody to find 500 grand cash. Okay. But why would you allow for that possibility? They have filed murder charges against the guy. They don't have the body, but they have saw blades and enough evidence that they believe that he did it. And what he did was horrifically gruesome. Why would you allow the possibility for him to walk among the free? What are we doing here? If you're in the legal profession, I want to hear some kind of explanation on this one, because this makes no sense to me at all. So emailer Katie sends in an email and said, Steve, I'm a lawyer by background, long retired, but I want to clarify something for you. The legal standard you're talking about here, innocent until proven guilty, is actually a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty. There was a great emphasis on that distinction in my criminal procedure class. By the way, I really enjoy your show in the new time slot. Well, thank you, Katie. I appreciate that. Okay, so what's the difference? If I say, hey, in our system, people are innocent until a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty. I guess, I don't know, distinction without difference in my mind, but I get it. In the legal world, you got to be very careful about all these things. Get it? Thank you. Still doesn't answer the question. Like, the prosecution, were they okay with this? The judge says, you may bail. Down goes the gavel. And if the guy's got $500,000 and... I mean, who's to say that he doesn't? He's out walking around until, I don't know. This does not make any sense to me at all. Maybe someone can help me understand this one. 271-1100, still got a few minutes left. Jim and Moorhead's on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you were questioning a little bit back as to reasons why the Democrats, including the Clintons, the Obamas, the Schumers, and many, many more, had a change of opinion or change of mind regarding open borders and illegal immigration,
right,
and all of that kind of woke thing. I would ask you, Steve, what significant event happened about 10 years ago?
Oh, 2016. Well, Donald Trump got elected.
Donald Trump came down the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't think of this. Bill O'Reilly thought of this about a week ago. I was watching his podcast. When he came down the elevator and ran on the platform of closing the border, getting rid of the illegals, cleaning up the country, keep in mind, anything that Trump is for, they're against.
Okay, so two things. It's number one, Trump is not on the other side of what they're claiming now. He's on the same side. And yes,
exactly.
Trump came down the escalator 11, 12 years ago, whatever that was. But it's not like they changed back then or even after Trump's first term. In fact, if you go back to November 5th of 2024, before Trump got elected, there was no liberals that were admitting this stuff. So why now? That's what I'm trying to figure out. The reason is the American people now have woke up to it, and they realize that the jig is up on this whole thing, and they can't lie to you anymore. That's my thought. I don't think they ever thought this stuff was right or true or good or virtuous. I just think it's been profitable all along.
Well, and again, keep in mind, back then, again, when Trump came down the elevator,
yeah, sorry, Jim. We lost you there, brother. I would say call back, but we're up against pretty much the end of the show. So thank you for giving a call in and letting me know on all of that. So another email. Steve, you were talking about Michelle Turnberg and Dave Pepcorn the other day. Turnberg is not going to run for Fargo mayor. She knows if she dies, she splits the ballot. I think that's a typo. She knows if she does, but it says if she dies, we get enough death in the world. We don't need any more, but get it. If she does, she splits the ballot. Neither of them would win, and then Josh wins. Turnberg understands the game. The problem is Michelle is being told by people that you got to run because Pepcorn can't win. So we got to try and hope that all the conservatives and the critical thinkers and the common sensers will all turn out for her. I don't know, you guys. It's a very interesting puzzle to me. At this point, Michelle has not said that she's in, so we can only assume that she's not. And she's had a very, very, I'll say again, she's had a very, very good first couple of years, and I think the future for her is very bright in Fargo and beyond. If she wants to go state or even federal level, I think all those options will be available to her. So maybe she doesn't need to be in such a hurry right now. Have a great day, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.